everybody, this is the House of Dark. Welcome to a new episode of Real Talk. We're going to go in on this movie, and I'm going to hurt some feelings, and I'm going to argue some points, and people are not going to listen because they think no matter what, these movies are going to be great. I think they're great. I think it deserves an 8.5 when it doesn't. Someone told me it's an 8.5, and it isn't. Even what is it, Metacritic? Who is it? Not even Metacritic gave it an 8.5. They gave it a 67 out of 100. That's a D, by the way. IMDb only, like, gave it a 7.9. Rotten Tomatoes only got a 77%, so no. Okay, so anyways, the point is, although we shouldn't trust Rotten Tomatoes, because who knows what their reviews. But the point is, like, I feel like a lot of people like this movie only because, for two reasons. The world itself, it's so pretty, it's so lush, especially, and it's like, and a lot of people responded to this movie because I think someone said it on one of their YouTube reviews that it's not a hero movie or Star Wars. It's very different. And so people are responding to it being very different from everything that's been coming out as of late. And I get that. Don't get me wrong. I understand it, and I get that. It's different. We're going back to a different type of storytelling. We're going back to a different sci-fi universe. I understand that. Here's the problem. The story needs some help, and I'm gonna explain why. So, for those who don't know, a month ago, Avatar: Way of Water came out, and this, regardless of what you say about, oh, it's been too long, oh, he spent how much money, movie's out, movie's doing very well, people want to pop off and like, up yours, Marvel. First of all, everyone, shut up. I hate when people do this. Every time there's a successful movie that's not Marvel related, they always go, yeah, guess what, Marvel? This movie's better than your film. Okay. First of all, just be clear. From 2021 and 2022 of Marvel, anything's better than what we got. My shoes are better than Phase 4 of the MCU. Let's be real. So I'm not impressed. And James Cameron just wants to be James Cameron. He's allowed, you know, so, and here's the problem with James Cameron. He's a mad scientist. And it's a good thing and a bad thing, because the good thing is he pushes the limits of technology, and that's great. But the bad thing is he's crazed when it comes to do these movies. Nobody puts limitations on what he's creating. No one reins him in. Somebody said it in a review, and I agree with this, because I said the same thing about George Lucas with the prequel trilogy. No one stopped George Lucas from making the trilogies the way it was. Not 4, 5, and 6. We're talking about 1, 2, and 3. And that's why we got Jar Jar and things like that. And I agree with that. And I feel like with this movie, it's the same thing. So when I went and watched Way of Water, I was already kind of wary of it. Let's be real. Of the movie. And I'm going to preface my review with this. This world's pretty. But it's always been pretty. Early Avatar, when the first Avatar movie came, it was very pretty. Everybody was like, the world building was very great. And I'm always respectful of world building. I'm always impressed when someone can make a world and there's always something different in it. I'm always impressed by that. I'm always impressed. So I'm never going to put down the fact that he's made this world. Like, I think, like, the water tribe, I think to me personally, that was my favorite part of the movie when they get there. Now, granted, I have some issues about that segment of the movie. But I think the parts of the water tribe, I enjoyed. I could genuinely say that, like, how they look, some of the interactions, the new animals in there, like how water, the water base and how they flew, like, they swam with them and stuff like that. There's a lot of things about that I did enjoy. So the world building is very good. And James Cameron is very good at creating that atmosphere and creating that immersion. And I think that's a lot of reasons why people took to this movie very much. Everyone loves escapism. Let's be real. That's why people play video games. That's why people watch movies. They read books. They watch TV shows because they want to escape their reality. That's why I'm always weirded out by people who like movies or TV shows that are like based on like real life or current time. Like, why would you want to relive what we're dealing with right now in a movie or a TV show? Makes no sense to me. So, like, when people are like, even if you go back to, like, periods, like, you weren't there, so you're, like, it's fine. So, but, nevertheless, it's a way of escaping your reality by living in another universe. Even if it is for, like, maybe 45 minutes or 3 hours, whatever it is, it's in that moment. And James Cameron did a good job creating a world for people to escape in. One of my favorite streamers loves He's also a hardcore James Cameron fan, but he loved Way of Water. He watched it like 6 times in all different ways, from 3D to 4D to crazy Dolby something like theater IMAX. He was all about it. He's like full and supporting it because he loves the world. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The story needs help though, one of the things I have issues with this movie is, one, this movie's too long. And they'd be like, well, David, this is like, no, there's nothing wrong with 3-hour films. Like, Endgame's 3 hours. I love that movie. Infinity War, I think it's almost 3 hours. Good movie. So there are movies out there that are 3 hours. All the Lord of the Rings films are 3 hours long. And they're good films. I think, King Kong, Peter Jackson King Kong, is like 3 hours. Like, they're all good movies. The problem is that the content that he put in didn't need to be in there. I feel like it was just kind of like extra. This movie should have been at least 2 hours. I'll even say 2 hours and like 10 minutes. it's just some stuff in there that just didn't need to happen. And just, by the way, I'm going to preface this with the fact, I should have mentioned earlier, I'm going to spoil some stuff. So if you don't want to know, don't listen. Or if you don't care, listen anyways. I'm going to put it in my title stuff that I'm going to spoil some things. So. I hate the fact that like this movie starts with just stuff that's just unexplained. Like, I understand that in the first movie, they somehow genetically created these avatars for them to use essentially as like these suits to live in or to survive in order to get on planet, because Pandora is toxic to humans. And unless you're indigenous there, you're from there, the air's toxic. It will kill you. You know? So, they use these avatars essentially as a way of to traverse the planet. Now they have a way of literally putting your whole consciousness by like downloading your brain onto like a flash drive, uploading it into an avatar while it's being grown, and then boom, you have your own body. So that's how they explain bringing back Stephen Lang's character, which is Colonel Quaritch. That's how they explain it. Like, so. Which, by the way, I think is complete hot garbage. Like, you find out that during Avatar 1, he somehow recorded a video explaining to his future self, if he dies, that I uploaded my brain onto a flash drive, put it into one of these Na'vi clones, so I, you know, just in case something goes wrong, goes rogue. And I was like, okay. My problem is this: they made it sound like in the first movie they were in short supply. Not only were they hard and expensive to make, they were in short supply. There weren't that many. That's why they brought Jake, even though he was like disabled because his brother died in the first movie. Spoilers: if those guys haven't seen that movie, came out like 13 years ago. So, but the way they explained it is like he was in that, he literally, the reason why they brought him in is because his brother's dead. They have this whole project they're doing to try to, like, interact with the Na'vi on Pandora. And so they're using these avatars to do so. And since his brother died, like, on mission, he didn't want to waste this avatar they grew for him. He was the closest one who can do it with the proper genetic code. Boom, here you go. You're in. You're in the project. So it made sense. Like, it was a lot to do. So the fact that they had this, like, full-on, like, battalion of, like, I mean, granted, it was battalion, but it was like, it was all Quaritch's, like, guys. All, like, his own little, like, team. And it was like a team of, like, 10. It was like 10 or 12 of them, like, ready to go. Like, all their brains in these Na'vi clones. And I'm like, what? Okay, well, all right, whatever. I overlooked that. Kind of, sort of. Not really, I didn't. And then we have Kiri, who is, I mean, shout out to the fact that, like, James Cameron brought back Sigourney Weaver to play one of the daughters of Jake and Neytiri. But you kind of find out in the movie that Kiri is actually the daughter of Sigourney Weaver's character in the first film. Somehow, her avatar, while it's in stasis, got impregnated. Somehow! They even said in the movie, we don't know how, but she conceived. What? And gave birth to Kiri. So, a stasis avatar gave birth. All right, whatever. I was just like, okay, whatever. I'm like, I'm feeling Messiah complex right now. Whatever. Now that we're not done yet. We're not done. And then you kind of find out that Spider is the son of Quaritch that somehow that's on planet. Once again, there's a baby, a human baby that somehow is born on planet. We don't know who the mother is. They don't even explain who the mother is. But it's the Colonel's baby. And when did he have time? What? I'm not saying that these Marines and these scientists, you guys are on assignment. Nobody played patty cake. But to sit there and go, oh, and they gave birth to a baby during their time here. And since babies can't go into cryo, which I don't know where that rule came from. I'm sorry, in the sci-fi universe, when was that rule ever established? He stuck on Pandora. It was adopted by Jake and the Tyrion. Okay, whatever. I'm just like... Okay, all right. Everyone calm down. Everybody calm down. My next issue is the motivation of the humans. You guys came back to Pandora to live here? You guys can't even survive here. That's what I don't understand. Like, and so, okay. So you can't live on this planet without requiring to wear an oxygen mask. You have to wear one or you die. But you're gonna move here anyways. And then you have, the new person in charge, General Ardmore, who's played by Edie Falco, suddenly just, but by the way, new character, just got introduced into the movie, new character. It's like, we're here to establish a home base, a city on Pandora, because Earth has lost, the whole problem with Earth, and it was alluded to in the first movie, that Earth is out of resources. Earth is dying, if not dead. We're out of resources. That's also why they were going after unobtainium in the first movie, because we don't have any more resources on Earth. Which, by the way, stupid writing. Anyways, dumb. I see they were going with it. Get it. I get it. So we're gonna come to this planet that is poisonous to us in so many ways to live here. And she says in her explanation to Quaritch, we need to pacify the natives. Here's the thing. I know what pacify means. It means you're going to murder them. Just murder them so you can live here. Because they're not going to let you live here for free. Because the first thing they do in the movie is when they first land is burn a good chunk of the forest so they can establish their base of operation. You're already proving you're a bad person. That you're already a detriment to the environment, to the ecosystem of Pandora. You literally kill every kind of life form that existed, from plant life to animal life to probably insect life, just so you could put your ships on planet. What? Stupid. Just to live, like I said, to live on a planet somehow that's poisonous to you. All right, that's another issue. Now, we're on the, and not only that, they're also going to be on a secret mission to kill Jake. Why? Why? First of all, Okay. And granted, my brain functions like this. Who on Earth signed up and said, yes, go there, go get this unobtainium by any means necessary, which includes killing the native life that are living there to get what we want. Why are we repeating history that happened on Earth on a different planet? Why are we writing this story? It doesn't make sense to me. And then knowing that it's dangerous here, not just to breathe, but to live. And you get thrown out because you're doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing. Now you're going to come back and do the same thing all over again? What? Who signed this on? Not only that, they're so... Okay, so there's these whales that you get introduced to. I forget what they're called. They're like the turkles or torkles. I forget what they're called. And somehow you find out that humans come onto the planet are literally poaching these guys because their brains produced this enzyme that literally stops aging. So my problem is this. When did you find that out? When did you have time to find that out? And who on earth right now is going, hey, you got any more of that weird alien whale brain stuff? I can use that right now while the earth is dying. Who's asking for this? Like the guy's like, oh man, I got a quota. Someone's ordering stuff on earth. You to fly all the way to Pandora, take this and fly it all the way back to earth while the earth is being destroyed from lack of resources. It's the what? I'm like, and once again, this is James Cameron being very heavy-handed that humans are bad. It drove me nuts. So, I'm telling you, the first part of this movie was boring to me. And then we finally get to the water tribe. I enjoyed a lot of the water tribe stuff because, one, it's a different part of the world. You get to see a different version of the Na'vi because these are the Neytiri and their tribe are the trees, tree tribes. So they're more like, I guess cats or monkeys, just the way they, because the way their legs, their arms, their limbs are, they're more meant for like climbing on branches and hopping around and be more agile. And then you get to the water tribe, they're a little more muscular because they're pushing through the water. And their tails are thicker because their breathing's different because their whole way of living is about, and is in the ocean. Not that they live in the ocean, but all their hunting, everything is in the water. So you deal with like completely different tribe and a different way, completely different way of living. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to see. And so I like a lot of that stuff, except for, say it gets to a certain point where it starts getting like boring, because you get these like back. We're going to go back to the crazy whales. So you get the whales, and the whales in the story are like and I know this is probably dating back to some actual real ancient stuff about spirit creatures and stuff like that. But like, so the whales come back, the pods come back from their migration, and everybody comes rolling in excited to meet them, and they're like, these are our spirit family, essentially. And so like, you see the mother of the water tribe, the tribeswoman who helps lead, and she goes up to one of them, and she's like, oh, how's your baby doing? And they're literally having a conversation, because, you know, they're underwater, so they have this underwater sign language that they do to talk to each other underwater. Which, by the way, is very cool. It makes me think of the sign language that the drow use in the Underdark. It was like their silent, like hand language for when they're just, like, doing, like, stealth stuff, stealth missions. It's really cool to me. I thought that was cool. I'm not going to lie. And shout out to the fact they actually got a person to create that sign language, too. It was really dope. And they're like, oh, it's good. How's the pregnancy coming along? Because the chief's... wife of the water tribe is with child. And she's like, baby's coming strong. I'm like, what is happening in the scene? Everyone's running around having these conversations with these whales. Like, actual legitimate conversations. And the whales like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And it's like subtitles. So they're literally talking to each other. And I'm just like, what am I seeing? And my wife's looking at me, and I'm just like, just beside myself, because it's like, this is dumb. Because this was never a thing in the first film. This was never a thing in the first movie. Like, it was always important to be part of nature, that to be appreciative of the food that they eat, the animals that they kill, because they kill the animals for food. And it was very, like, Native American, because, like, be appreciative of everything about the planet. Like, the trees, everything, it all is, it's without quoting Lion King, it's like the circle of life kind of thing. We're all part of this ecosystem, and we share it together. It's a symbiotic relationship. No one's, there's a food chain, but everybody it contributes to the cycle of life on this planet. It's cool, and then the reason why they're able to have a neural connection, because that's their way of connecting to not only to the planet, but to the animals. That's why they have those life trees. Like, it's literally like the life stream from Final Fantasy VII. Like, it courses through the planet and through all the living beings. It's really cool. Don't get me wrong. But this moment when they're having these little legitimate conversations with these whales, and I'm just looking at my wife like, what is this? I was like, this was not even introduced in the first movie. So this is what bugs, like, and this is what bugs me. I was like, this is weird. This is some weird stuff. And the whole thing about what their youngest son was made me mad, because he was like the worst child you can ever have, because he was just unnecessarily like, what's his name, Loak? Yeah, Loak. He was like unnecessarily like pushy and disobedient. And he was like, I'm an outcast. No, you're bad. There's a difference. There's a difference. And it's like, and it's just stuff that happens in this movie. I'm like, it doesn't have to be this way. The weird prejudices of one from the tree tribe versus the water tribe didn't make sense. Oh, you have demon blood because they're hybrids. They had a little bit of human DNA. That's why they had five fingers instead of four. No, they had like four fingers and a thumb instead of like three. And it was so dumb. I was like, why? Like the bigger enemy is out there and you're fighting among each other because you're different. Really? Are we really doing this again? Why are we doing this trope? Why are we doing this? And the whole concept of Jake running from Quaritch because he's trying to protect the family, and to kind of find out you brought the issues to this water tribe. People are getting murdered, whales are getting destroyed, all because you made bad decisions. This movie is chock full of bad decisions. And I just like, this all could have been avoided if he just stuck to his guns and protected his family the right way. Like, take it to the people, take it to those guys. And I just feel like there was a better way of doing this. It was so dumb. Like, I literally thought they were gonna get all the tribes to combine, to like unite and fight. They call them the sky people, like people from Earth. They call them the sky people. I thought he was gonna like, because he's the leader of the tree Navi, forest Navi. I thought he was going to go get all the other tribes to, because they don't interact, to get everyone to come together and fight against, Earth, essentially, and the fact, because, like, you find out, like, the water tribe, they knew about the sky people, they knew about what happened in Avatar 1, but they're like, we're way over here, so it didn't matter to us, so you just didn't help. All right, thanks. So this is the kind of people you guys are. I was like, cool, so this is to be the opportunity. Like, it made me think of, like, I don't know if anyone ever read the old books of World of Warcraft, and there was the one, was it Thrall? I think it was the story of Thrall, where he combined all the tribes of the orcs to fight against the human oppressors, and it was a dope story, because he was a slave that overcame, like, his status, and became one of, like, the important leaders of the orcs, and helped establish the Horde Alliance, like, the Horde faction. It was kind of cool. I was hoping this was going to happen in this movie. Instead of it was him like, we're running from danger. Well, we brought the danger to us. And like, it was just like, there's such bad decisions. And it was just dumb to me. It was dumb. And there's stuff that happened at the end of the movie was stupid. Like, the final fight was dope. Because like, there's, I don't know if I want to reveal that major part. Like I said, not all the spoilers I want to talk about. But like, you have to see it. But there's a moment where like, Jake and Neytiri are like in sync with each other and are fighting the humans, and it's dope because it's dope. And this entire film, I can honestly say there's about 30% of this movie I enjoyed. Everybody's like, whoa, I'm like, dead serious. There's like a section of this movie I actually liked, and the rest I could do without. I literally could do without. And so I know people are gonna be mad because one of my friends was like, "Oh, this felt like an 8.5 to me." I'm like, "Nah, dude, you say it's an 8.5 because it's pretty," and I get that. But you know who else does that? Who else gave like high marks to a movie because of their cinematography? All you Snyder fans, BVS. Oh, I had people go, "BVS was a great movie." No, it wasn't. Story wise, it was a horrible movie. But the cinematography, oh my god. The same thing with Snyder Cut, but the cinematography, it's... What? The story's dumb. Wasn't any better from the... And I was just like... It's stuff like that. And I'm like, and I'm not saying that Avatar is... It's like Zack Snyder's, like... It's not like... It's like BVS. It's much better than BVS. I will say that. And... But I feel like there's... No one told James Cameron no. And you can tell that in this movie. There's so much stuff happening in this movie. There's so many different arcs that are happening in this movie. There's a moment where, like, the plot just disappeared. You spent so much time in the water tribe, and the water tribe this, and the water tribe this, and the 19 whales, and I'm friends with the whale, and the whale's my friend. And there was, like, a Free Willy moment between the youngest son of Jake and another whale, and they're having a conversation. You're an outcast, and I'm an outcast, too. We can be an outcast together. I'm like, oh, my God. There's moments like my wife watches me and I just go limp. in my chair. Like, I like die for like 30 seconds in my chair because there's a scene in the movie. It was so dumb. I can't function. It was so over the top. I couldn't function. And I was like, this is what's wrong with this movie. There's so much unnecessary that's in this movie. And to me, it hurts it. No matter how pretty the world is, no matter how vast the world building is, there's just some stuff in this movie that's just so funky that I can't, you'll never get me to be completely immersed. You'll never get me to be completely immersed because I'm so caught up in how weird a lot of this stuff is and how unnecessary some of this stuff is. And we didn't need Spider. He did not need to be in the movie. Anyways, with that in mind, I hate to say it, it's time to rate it. Avatar Way of Water, as pretty as it is, like I said, this world building is fantastical. It gets a 5 out of 10 from me. And the only reason I got a 5 out of 10 from me, I would have gave it lower, but this movie's gorgeous. The movie is gorgeous. The story is butt. I'll take it back. It's not butt. It's just not done well. And it's very heavy-handed on very specific points of view. Like, James Cameron's pushing a very specific point of view in this movie, and you can tell. Which is the same thing they kind of did in the first movie, and then he's just translating into the second film. He just made it harder. He hit it hard. He made it worse. He made it, he wants to drive home, humans are bad. And I'm like, I'm over it. I get humans are bad. I live with humans. I deal with them on a regular basis. I know humans can be bad. I know they can be. I know they can be selfish. I know they can stab you in the back. I know they can steal. I know that. That's not what I came to watch this movie for. I didn't come to watch this movie in a completely different planet with tall blue people to be reminded of that for like 3 hours. I'm good. Good world building though. It's nice. Nice and vast. It's huge. Great. So, anyways, tell me what you think. Tell me how you feel. Did you like Avatar Way of Water? Did you really think it was like a 9 or a 10 or something like that? Like, just to be clear, you guys, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's only got like a 70%, like 75, 77. So that's a C, in all honesty. So that's not great. You know, I just want y'all to understand that. Like, it's doing well. And I congrats them on their success. But if you want to continue making, cause like, there's probably like 5 movies. So 3's already done. 4 is in pre-production. So if you want to continue to make it, you gotta fix up that story, my man. Fix that story. Story's butt. I said it wasn't butt. Now I'm saying it is butt. I gotta make up my mind. It's rough. The story's rough. The story's rough. It really is. It's a little rough. So, if he can fine tune that and like you can keep your world big and pretty and elaborate and all that stuff and all the cool different animals and landscapes and blah 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 blah. But if you can dial up their story to be half of what that is, I'll leave you alone. Dead serious. Make your story as half as impressive as your visuals. You can't be touched. It doesn't have to be just as high. It's just half of it. Be just as good. You'll be great. All right, this House of Darkness talking about Avatar Way of Water. I'm going to be giving some people who won't like me because of this. Because I do like, but this is why I do what I do. Because I look at it at a certain way. Hey, if I can talk crap about my Marvel universe, I'm going to talk crap about James Cameron's like Avatar universe. And people think I just like Marvel because for the sake of Marvel. Nah, man, y'all don't pay attention. Y'all don't hear me talk crap about my own universe. So please, nobody's safe when the House of Darkness is around. Nobody's safe.